Get out of the punch, would you?
Well, I was about to say more of the...
Get the lampshade off your head.
Well, I was about to say it's more likely there's a few people on Paragon chat going, shh, too loud.
Stop with the noisemaker, you bastard. We're going to shoot down that satellite you're in. We're going to make you go back into a high orbit and never want to come back down.
Now that's for the job of the spiritual successors. It was the they're doing another joke on us.
Here they go. They're doing it again. Well, let's see who we got. Hold on, we got some people hanging out here. I've got a gentleman by the name of Rigger hanging out on the top steps. He's holding a torch. I've got Vanguard Slice, who saw me playing air guitar a few minutes ago. He's dancing like Michael Jackson. And I've got Tilly Dread Puppy telling me to bow before Tilly Dread Puppy, Breaker of Hearts, Conqueror of Cork Tree, Slayer of the Great Rat of Understairs. My goodness. And off in the far distance, I could see Mac Smacker, Raven of the Night, he's usually over here, and somebody running around, I can't get their name. Junko Isaka. I hope I got that name right. They're running around. I don't see anybody else. But like we said, it's the Friday after. Trust me, I know how everybody feels if you're not hanging out tonight. I was wiped out after. I got to tell you a story. I don't know how this happened. I woke up New Year's Day morning. My left hamstring has been killed. I pulled it somehow at a New Year's Eve party. I don't know what I did. I wasn't running. I wasn't lifting anything. I woke up going, how the hell did I pull my left hamstring? It has been killing me ever since New Year's Eve. It has been absolutely killing me. My lower back, it's usually hurting, has been more so. I have been hurting since New Year's Eve. I'm like, good Lord, I'm a wreck. I had two beers all night because I thought I might have to drive people home. I'm going, how the hell did this happen? So then I got up that morning, and what sucked was the party I went to, it was pouring rain out. And somebody goes to me, well, you don't have a significant other with you. I'm like, thanks for reminding me. Can you help one of the guys? He's going to light some fireworks off. I'm like, thanks. So what is that supposed to mean? Just carry some boxes. They're very light. So I missed the ball drop. I'm like, what a fucking way to start the new year. I don't get to see the ball drop like I always. I'm like, this is royally sucking. Why do I even bother coming to this party? I could have went to the store, got a six-pack of Guinness, sat at home with my folks, had some cheese and crackers, had a couple beers. You know, we could have had a better, you know what I mean? I was like, well, what the hell is this all about? Right? I got home at 10 to 3. I said, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I put on one of the like news channels, like MSNBC or one of those. For the West Coast, they replayed the ball dropping. And I got to see. Now, I'm going to give everybody a little hint here. And this is fun to do at parties. Because you know how they always sing Auld Lang Syne and no one knows the words? Really? So this is what you do. You tell everybody you know the words of the song. Now, in a very clear, loud, and a very loud, clear voice, you wait for everybody to start singing. Now, let's say the ball's about to drop. Now, I need a countdown. And I will sing the song. So can you give me a countdown, please?
10, 9,
oh,
yeah.
8. Faster than that. Come on. Oh, God, we're going to start at 10. Like, give me a 4 second. Come on, you go faster. Give me a 4 second, something like that. I will sing this song.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Everything, Happy New Year. And everybody starts singing. So this is why I usually go. I know the words. Auld Lang Syne. And everybody cracks up laughing. I'm like, what? You know the words of the song? Those are the only words you need to. And everybody busts out laughing. And then everybody goes, oh, can we sing that again? And I get everybody in to join me and my best friends for years. Everybody goes, who's in on it, who knows it, goes, are you going to do the song? Like, yes. So we get everybody lined up in a group, right, like a chorus. And I stand in the front and we go, okay, it's 5 minutes past. We're all going to sing it. And we all go out and we get every outside yells at the top of their lungs. And they yell this. And everybody does this. And they even crack up. Because they see us out there. They go, oh, my one year, so neighbor's kids, they were in their teen years, they came over, they joined in. And we've been doing this for years, and they think it's the funniest thing. And the thing is, we're sober. It's just, and my stepdad, it's just because do you really know the words to the song? Should all the queens be shot and yada, 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 yada. Yeah,
and never brought to mind,
words?
Should old acquaintance be forgot in the days of old Lang Syne? Oh, old Lang Syne,
right.
My dear, oh, old Lang Syne, we take a cup of thee on for the sake of old Lang Syne.
<You're laughs>
the reason
really
why
the
I know this.
Yes.
The reason why I know this
you're...
is.
Yes.
Well, I was an entertainer, and two, on Dawn Radio on New Year's, I rung in New Year's for continental Europe, England, Iceland, Greenland, took a break because there was pretty much no space for a couple of hours. Then we got to the Virgin Islands. Newfoundland.
No. You should do it every time zone. You should just have next year. You should have me come on. I'll do it for every time zone that way.
I'm getting there.
Hit.
Then we get the Eastern Central Mountain, and I just put on an hour's worth of Twisted Tunes so I can hit the Pacific so I can fall asleep.
Oh no! You should just have. No. Well, the one every week in our younger years, Once, about 9 a.m., 10 a.m., every hour, me and my best friend, we would call each other, and we were just yelling. I knew it was going to be him calling, so as soon as we picked up, we had caller ID, so as soon as we knew who it was, we would just start yelling that into the phone, and the whole house would just start cracking up. So, did you do all of the Russian time zones, they want to know?
I did not get to Russian because at the time being I was at work.
Oh.
So when I got home, it was a time for continental Europe.
See, when we did that, we would do all the time zones. We would start at 8 a.m. and we would keep going. Every hour. We would yell that
so,
long as I
was
working. Okay, I'll call you next
work
hour.
Was kind of with work it was kind of strange because I'm hearing all right, this place closed at 1 and this place closed at 1 and this place closed at 12 and this place closed at 1. No, we kept going till 3 and
that
we're going
sucks.
Why are we still here?
Let me tell you, when I worked at Verizon on New Year's Eve, we were open until 5. And it was everybody else is closed. Why? What? Why? Nothing starts till 6, 7 o'clock. Why? Parties don't start till 8. It's did you think that maybe I had to stop somewhere and get some, pick some stuff up? Should have picked it up.
I swear, there was only 3.
You know what it was? I knew about it. I knew that we were going to be, I had to work till 5, or 4:30. But it was wow. I can't even stop anywhere, until
there was only
there
was only
airport,
3 places just, that were there was only 3 kind of businesses that were open by the time I was able to get home. 1, gas stations.
Mm-hmm,
2,
they're always open.
Chinese restaurants.
They're always open.
And
yeah.
3, any place that sells alcohol.
They're always open. Well, till about 9 they're open, yeah.
No, you have to count bars in any place that sells alcohol.
True. Yes, yes, yes. Well, especially for New Year's Eve, you figure bars are going to be open.
Right. That's why also the liquor stores stayed open, because they knew there was going to be a rush.
Right. And that's one of the places I had to stop when I got off work at 4:30. Well, you know what's funny, though? You ready for this one? I went to Pennsylvania one time. We went camping. If you want to buy a six-pack of beer, you have to go into a bar in Pennsylvania. You can't buy them in supermarkets. I thought that was the weirdest thing. I was like, what? And sure enough, in a bar, they had a refrigerator thing set up. You tell them what kind of six-pack you want. And they opened the thing. It was behind the bar. And they sold you. Oh, Tilly Jerry Puppy says, well, it wasn't Chinese New Year yet. That's why they were open.
Oh, but they were open, you know, so I guess, you know, the people that are, we're going home now. We need something to eat before they bust us.
Yeah. Quick, what are we doing for food? Chinese appetizers. Which ones? All of them.
Which one? Column B? Yes.
Yeah. Yes. See, Chinese restaurants around here, they don't do that anymore. The one from column A, one from column B, scrap. It's all appetizers. It's boring, their menus. And when the hell did French fries become a Chinese menu appetizer? I'm looking like French fries, American chicken wings. What?
The French like, Indonesia or something? Like, I don't know.
I can put French fries and onion rings on this one restaurant's menu around here for a while. I was like, huh? And so we all went, and they told me, oh, you're going to love this menu. I'm like, look, they're like, look, go down the appetizers list. What? Oh, somebody says bento. <Bento-lo. laughs> What? I'm like, why don't they just put pizza and cheese and hamburgers on this list too?
Oh, and with all these jokes now here, we should have started off with the Pogo Pogo Super Tupa Happy Talk Old Time Fun Time Radio Program.
There you go. Oh, yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen. That is our sponsor for the evening. Would you please announce our sponsor for the evening for the new year? Yes. I know somebody in the group will be happy about that. Yes, yes.
Yes, the Pogo Pogo Super Tupa Happy Fun Time Old Time Radio Program with Southern Rain with Bouncy Bouncy Action and Poop the Ginza Dragon.
Holy mackerel. There you go. So, if anybody wants to call in and help celebrate the beginning of the 2019, the new year, which is 2019, guests can call in at the following number, 714-583-6908. Again, that number is 714-583-6908. There you go.
Now, I want to point out that before, any bad thing happened, there was actually a good thing that happened on New Year's Day.
Really?
Yes.
A famous knight was knighted? You don't say?
Yes. The lead knight of the knights. Who say me?
Really?
Michael Palin was knighted.
I did not hear about this.
Oh, yeah. I was going like, are you kidding me? I took a look. Yep, Michael Palin got knighted. Now, when I saw that, the first thing that came to my mind was an interview with Terry Gilliam. And he was going like, we created Monty Python, therefore, to do things that were unexplainable. And the fact that the word Python-esque is in the Oxford Dictionary tells you how much of an utter complete failure that was.
Yes.
And now the anti-establishment members of Monty Python has a knight, Sir Michael Palin, in their groups. So you know you got John Cleese recreating the chef from the Dirty Fork speed going, "You bastard! Oh, that makes me mad."
That's okay. I remember after I graduated college, right? And of course, we were all Monty Python fans. For a number of years, they said that a number of college students didn't understand or get Monty Python. And I was like, where are these kids coming from? They said kids were becoming quite conservative. And I said, what? And they said that kids, that college kids didn't, were not, not only did they not understand, they weren't fans and they didn't care for Monty Python. I was like, how dare you? That's
me.
Yeah, quite so. Wee wee cry an elderberry. Bush of an elderberry bush.
Now we want a shrubbery.
Yes, an elderberry shrubbery.
So remember, we got to go meep. Anyway.
Yes, but then they changed their name, didn't they?
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember how I've heard so many people do it so differently each time.
I know. I heard that they were the nice of boom or something like. You see, I do it differently too. Been so long since I've seen the movie, so
that is like so right. And so I'm just, like I said, I'm waiting. I haven't looked yet, maybe because of work here, but I want to see the comments of Eric Idle, John Cleese.
Oh, here we go.
Terry Gilliam.
Here you go.
Terry Jones.
Here you go. I know, the red hat, you bastard. You don't even belong with us anymore. On 28th December 2018, it was announced that on December 28th, 2018, it was announced that Palin had been appointed a Knight Commander of the Order of St. Michael and St. George for services to travel, culture, and geography in the 2019 New Year Honors. Palin is the only Python to receive a knighthood.
And like I said, these were the bad boys. You know, despite what BBC says now, they were the anti-establishment.
They were.
And now you have Sir Michael Palin. You know, it just kind of reminds me of, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And now we're going to induct Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols. Piss off! If he just accepted it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was like the year when Rush finally got in. Like, if you look at the other bands that went in that year, it was like the list of, these are all the bands who should have went in years before, and like, we're sorry, we screwed up. Like, Heart went in, and I can't remember who else went in. But I remember we were joking about, like, wow, so basically this is the year that the Hall of Fame said, you know what? We owe all these bands an apology, and we're putting all these bands in because they should have went in like 10 years ago. Okay, I'm looking here at the list of all the people who went in. My goodness, sir. Okay, here's the list of everybody who went in, if you want to know who went in this year. I don't know half these people. I just know Michael Palin. When we said Michael Palin, I was like, huh? But like I said, he went in for services to travel, culture, and geography. I'm trying to read this list to see if there's anybody else we know.
Hold on. Knighthood.
2019. No, well, it's here under 2019 New Year Honors, so.
Twiggy was made a lady.
Really? A dame?
A dame, should I, you know, Dame Twiggy.
Yes. Dame Twiggy. Good Lord. How'd you do that?
Alistair Cook, I do recognize, former England cricket, but he did some other TV shows as well. Mainly medics and police officers.
Sean Connery, in 1997, 1998, was nominated for Knighthood, but they were vetoed.
I wonder why. I'll take famous mothers for $1,000, Alex. No, you won't.
How does one get a Knighthood?
That I couldn't tell you. Well, first, you definitely have to be of the British Isles.
Well, that's ridiculous. That's, come on now. Julie Andrews.
They're actually going to have another tour, so he's still probably up in the running.
No, he got one.
There is a Sir Mick Jagger.
I swear, I'm trying to look this up here. Sir Michael Philip Mick Jagger. I was trying to look up, famous knights, and it's just quotes about Jagger, and it says here, quotes about Jagger, and it goes, I thought it was ludicrous to take one of those gongs from the establishment. It's not what the Stones is about, is it? I don't want to step out on stage with someone wearing a fucking coronet and sporting the old ermine. I told Mick, it's fucking paltry honor. Keith Richards, 2003, on Jagger receiving knighthood, reported in quotes, Keith Richards, BBC, April 4, 2007. So there you go.
All right, let's see. I'm looking. You would figure by now, people, the rest of the pythons, would have reacted. Okay, Michael Pelton to celebrate knighthood with a glass of Horlick in bed.
Wait, what was that?
Michael Palin to celebrate being knighted with a glass of Horlicks and then go to bed. Well, that was kind of like a reminiscence of the 40th anniversary of Python. What are you going to do? We're going to drink tea, which gives the Family Guy. What would Star Trek The Next Generation group would do? We're going to drink tea. That's where that joke came from.
Yes.
Also, it will be the 50th anniversary of Monty Python. Oh, that's why they're waiting.
they're gonna give him something fierce.
I mean, Eric Idle will do it subtly, but John Cleese, he's gonna just.
Oh, got it.
Like I said, he'll be coming up. You bastard!
No sadness, no nights.
Either that or during the whole thing, they'll just keep going, me.
Believe it or not, Nitrous A. Knee, have a Wikipedia page.
Now, unfortunately, with every good, there was a bad, and
hold
we
on.
Had a double whammy.
I found it.
Wait
a minute. We are no longer the night. They said they are no longer in the original screenplay. Wait. Oh, okay. Never mind. Go on. I'm trying to find.
What was exactly said?
Yeah, I'm trying to find where what they changed it to, because it says. Hold on. Wait. Yes, Tilly Dread Puppy. I'm sorry. While I was looking, I wasn't. Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. I wasn't paying attention here.
Oh, yeah, I found it. They are now the next who say, Icky, 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 Patang, Zoop, Boing.
Okay. I knew it was something like that. Gee, oh, you're still going. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Hold on. I have to catch this up to the chat. In Paragon chat, Tilly Dread Puppy has informed me 13 couples filed for divorce on Christmas Day over here, or over there, in the UK. We are no longer the Knights of Need. We are now the Knights who say, Waka Waka Icky Patang. That's what, or something. That's what she said. But there's more. No, she said, do you know, not all knighthoods grant the title Sir or Dame. Anyone can be nominated for knighthood, but can't nominate themselves. More people who nominate gets more of a look at. Something's not true. I don't know. A few people from other countries are knighted. I have a chance. Ultimately, it's up to a committee, and finally, the queen herself to approve. Though it's not always the queen herself who does the knighting, though it's nominated by the public. Getting knighted doesn't really grant any benefits other than being able to use Sir, Dame, or letters of particular knighthood, OBE, etc., in your name and documents. You can only use the titles, though, if you are a British citizen.
Which Michael Palin is.
All right. Still, I think it would be cool to say, I was knighted. So, like, let's say I was knighted and I go back over there and visit. Can I then say, hey, look at me, I was knighted? I'm on royal soil. That didn't sound right. Royal soil.
Okay.
So she goes, so the knighted guy in Africa can't use titles till he becomes Brit citizen. And he could just say he was knighted. Well, that's cool. I want to do that. I want to say I was knighted. But officially.
I figured it out. I know what's going to happen. 50th anniversary. Monty Python. They're going to redo skits. Excuse me, Sir Michael Palin, but I wish to register a complaint. The next line going, excuse me, miss. Who are you calling miss? I'm sorry, Sir Michael Palin. I seem to have a cold. You know, every skit that he's in, they're going to go, Sir Michael Palin. Kind of reminiscent of the episode where The Queen was supposed to be viewing, and then you just stand up and stop whatever you're doing and play God Bless the Queen.
Yes.
So that's what I'm predicting.
As far as they haven't reacted
now,
yet.
I know. That's what I think. They're waiting, especially John Cleese. He's waiting. If anyone was going to dish out Venom in a most gentlemanlike way, it's John Cleese. But as I was saying earlier, with every good thing, there was a couple of bad things, and we had a couple of passings.
Yeah, already. On the second day of the year, I guess we'll start with the comedian.
The first one.
The first one that we were talking about this before. Yes, his name was Stuart Robert Einstein, born November 20th, 1942. He was an American actor, comedy writer, and producer. He was known for creating and performing the satirical stuntman character, Super Dave Osborne.
This is Super Dave Osborne here. I finally passed away, and now I'm going to jump over the body of Elvis.
Very good.
That's where
something else goes wrong. That is.
Yeah.
Until what? Einstein's alive. Damn. Einstein was also known for his roles as Marty Funkhauser in Curb Your Enthusiasm and Larry Middleman on Arrested Development. He got his start as a writer.
Is,
go ahead. Yes. The thing is.
The 10th time I've heard Super Dave die, I'm going, yeah, right. Oh, shit. He did die.
Yeah. I didn't even hear about this one because, you know what's funny, though? All week I've heard on Twitter about Bob Einstein. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Who's Bob Einstein?
Well, I guess they actually
Dave
wanted
Osborne.
To. Yeah, they wanted to separate because of the rumors so many times Super Dave died. Now, this is
right.
The actual person that died this time.
Yeah, because on my Twitter account, I have some comedians, and they worked with Bob Einstein, Bob Einstein took these younger comedians under his wing, his wings, and okay, it's Super Dave Osborne, but he got his start as a writer on several television variety shows, including the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour and the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour. He won 2 Emmy Awards as a writer and was nominated 4 other times. He also won a Cable Ace Award for acting as
me.
Super Dave, along with 5 other nominations. What? Did you say me or me?
Me.
Oh. Einstein was a son. It's weird saying Einstein. I keep thinking Albert, but Bob Einstein was the son of radio comedian Harry Einstein and the older brother, a fellow actor and comedian Albert Brooks. There you go.
The big one. The big one. This
yes.
one's all yours.
Yeah.
The big one's all yours.
As you know, I'm a pro wrestling fan, and all of us wrestling fans, our foundations were rocked when we got up on January 3rd, Wednesday. It was Wednesday, so it was January 2nd. It was January 2nd. Our were rocked. He was born December 19th, 1942, known as Eugene. He was born Eugene Arthur Okerlund, better known by his ring name, Mean Gene Okerlund. And if you don't know, if you watch wrestling in the 80s or late 70s or 90s, you know him as Mean Gene Okerlund. He was an American professional wrestling interviewer, announcer. They say wrestler, but when he wrestled with Hulk Hogan. You know Hulk wrestled like 98% of that. You know Hogan wrestled like 98-99% of that match. he was
he
best
he
over
did
North
have
Wrestling Federation. But
yeah, I saw that match. He did have an assisted splash off the hands of Hulk Hogan to get the pin.
Yeah, yeah, that was it. Yeah, he finished the match after Hogan helped. But yeah, big time. Like I said, he did. He was best known for his work in World Wrestling Federation at the time. That was still WWF and World Championship Wrestling. Oakland was inducted to WWE Hall of Fame in 2006 by Hulk Hogan. He was signed to a lifetime contract with WWE and worked for promotional programs, mostly WWE Network programming and occasionally the TV series, a couple TV series, you know, Monday Night Raw. And every year in the last couple of years, they've been doing, I can't remember what they call it, where they do like, they go back in time type thing and they make the ring and the show look like
old
it did
school
back
Raw.
In the 80s. That's an old school Raw. Thank you. Old school Raw. Thank you. And they wear those, oh my God, those horrible white blue jackets with the old logo. And he showed, and he's backstage doing the interviews and all the old school wrestlers show up. But I will tell you this, what I loved about him, when the wrestlers, especially back then, they were rule breakers, when they got in his face, he says, pal, you put your hand on me, my attorney's a phone call away. You will get sued. And they back off.
Now, here's something that I did not know. Now, here's something I did not know, and it's gonna be pointed out because Hulk Hogan will be on Raw Monday to do
a tribute
to Mean Gene.
Okay.
But
cool.
It was in an article today that usually when you think wrestling, it's scripted. But when it came to the interviews, Mean Gene, Hulk Hogan, total shoots.
Oh, yeah.
Off the
cuff. Yeah. Back in those days, only recently did they start scripting them. Back in the 80s, like the 70s and 80s, they had bullet points. Like, get this point across, get this across, get this across. Like, make sure you mention this, this, and that. They made up their own stuff. That's like when you hear about, like, Dusty Rhodes, Roddy Piper, Ric Flair, Hogan, all those guys back then who were the great talkers. They were talkers because they, you know, outside of, like, we call bullet points, like, make sure, like, Mad Viking, you're wrestling, I'm going to make this up, you're wrestling Short Bus. Make sure you mention the match, where it is, or mention the match, what type of match it is, where you're wrestling, you know, and mention the pay-per-view it's on, okay? Outside of that, you're on your own, okay?
Explains the Ultimate Warrior destrucity.
Go on. Please explain to the fans what you thought. Please explain to the fans.
How can you explain destrucity?
Let me explain in Vince McMahon's words. It was the year of hell for WWE Vince McMahon because they decided while Hogan was off for a year, they gave the world title to the Ultimate Warrior. And it was in his contract. He would be the champ for a year. From day one, Vince regretted doing this. And it was just like, oh my God, what the bleep did we do? It's like, he was cool. The second we put it on him, he was gracious in the ring. The next day, Hogan took off to do what he was going to do for a year. And then it's like, okay, you're going to do this and that and blah, blah, you know, because there's a certain protocol the champ has to follow. And he's like, no, I'm the Ultimate Warrior. I'm the champ. I dictate to you what I do. What? No, you have to follow our guidelines. No. Oh my God! Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm talking about his ever famous rambling shoots, his rambling promos, where he goes off in a tangent that's supposed to start off with a match versus somebody, then it goes into the calling of the warriors and praising the moon, and then the ever famous word destrucity. Destrucity in the 80s and 90s was the equivalency of Covfefe of today.
Oh,
where everyone's
that
going,
one. Oh,
what the
yes,
hell?
Yes. Yes. Destrucity. Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember you talking about that. Yeah. Okay, I gotcha. It's like, huh? Dude, I think, yeah. What the? You know what's funny? They don't even mention that interview anymore.
Because it's so famous, they don't need.
Well, no. But like we said, but in an interview, like when they had Mean Gene on like a round table thing that they have on the network, they said worst interviewer, Sid Vicious. He was screwing up so bad. He goes, can we start this over? We got to start this over. He goes, no, we can't start over. We're live. It's live TV. Keep going. We can't start this over. He was talking about the worst people he ever interviewed. Do you remember Giant Gonzalez?
Yeah.
He was. He was like from the Atlanta Hawks. He wasn't going to make it on the team. He was in WCW at the time. And they said, we'll just make him a wrestler. And they made him, originally they were, no. He was in WWE. I forget where he started, WWE or something like that. And it was like, they're trying to get him to talk about, and Mean Gene's like, all right, I'll guide you through the interview. Just follow along with me, right? And he's fighting The Undertaker. That's what it is. He's supposed to fight The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And he goes, so you're fighting The Undertaker. I'm going to kill The Undertaker. Okay, yes, that's fine. But let's talk about your record. You're undefeated. He's undefeated. What is your game plan? I'm going to kill The Undertaker. Okay, great. So what is your special training to get over The Undertaker? I'm going to kill The Undertaker. Wonderful. And he goes, no matter what I said, guess what he answered? He goes, although he didn't ask me to start over again, because I think if I said, do you want to start over, he would just say, I'm going to kill The Undertaker. So.
Meanwhile, George the Animal Steel is going like, hey, he's stealing my bit. I'm the only one supposed to say only one or two things all the time.
And for people who don't know, whoever saw George the Animal Steel, in real life, he was an English professor.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a true story. That is for real. It's just the way he acted. I would love to have seen the look on his students' faces who watched wrestling for the first time, who saw George the Animal Steel, and then went to college and saw him walk in the next day in a suit, glasses on, and start talking eloquently.
A little bruised.
Yeah, no, not even
a little bruised.
Eloquently. Little Bruce?
Bruised.
A little bruised?
He might have
no,
hit the turnbuckle a little too hard.
Oh, maybe. You know, tongue, not greed, because he always had the green tongue in the ring. You know, and just start talking about, Great Expectations by Dick. You know, just like, so let's talk about Great Expectations or something like that. Like, huh? You know? But
and for those who don't know what we're talking about, see the movie Ed Wood. He played Tor Johnson.
Yes, he did. Yes, you're right. I forgot about that. Yes. But back in the 80s, if you want to see the difference between the golden age, what I consider the golden age of wrestling, and the modern day of wrestling now, the interviews were so much better back then because I got to say, one of the last good, you know, interviewers was The Rock, because he made up his own, he did his own interviews too in the ring, and Stone Cold, like that group, like the Attitude Era, that was like one of the last eras where they did their own interviews. Like, right after that era, like, I remember this. Every young person in the ring this one night in Raw, they were all heels or bad guys. And they were all giving the same speech in the ring, right? And I'm sitting there going, what the hell? I called one of my friends that. He goes, yeah, I saw that too. Like, did you notice every heel is talking about not waiting for their spot? They're going to take over. And it was just like almost word. It was like, what? Did the writers get together and say, all right, go talk to this heel, talk to this guy, talk to this, we're each going to take a guy, customize the same speech for the same wrestler? You know, and I could see the head writer go, guys, when I said take this speech, I meant take the basic idea of it and switch it around for your wrestler. Not word for word. It's like, because nowadays, it's like they're not allowed to make up their own stuff anymore. It's like the writers write the speeches. They write the interviews. You can't, they don't let them go out there and make up their own stuff anymore. Nowadays, character development isn't even done by the wrestler. It is done by creative. And if creative sucks, forget about it.
Vince Russo.
See, the problem with Vince Russo was this. He was good at coming up with stories or storylines. The problem was he didn't know how to end them.
Mm. Ooh, I just noticed it. We're coming up on 10
what?
O'clock. If we have any updates, ooh, this is the time to do it.
Okay, so anyway, I just want to say this. Guys, go to YouTube. Look up Mean Gene Okerlund interviews, any of them. Even now, he puts, like, any of the interviewers say to go back and watch stuff, and he puts them to shame. So, all right, I'm going to mute you for a minute, Mad Viking, and we have something
right.
planned. This is more for Mean Gene Okerlund, but it pertains to them. A moment of silence, a 10 bells as honorary tradition in the world of pro wrestling, a 10 bell salute and a moment of silence. So bow your heads and let's give them a 10 bell salute. Rest in peace, Mean Gene. There will never, never be another like you, sir. You're the last of the originals. All right. We got some updates. First and foremost, heroes and villains. Update number 317. All right. This week, we've been continuing with work on the handling of player choices regarding the balance of how often players should option to kill NPCs, which, in addition to the technical and narrative issues that we've mentioned that come from giving players frequent options for killing off NPCs, could create, also brings up the extremely important issues of tone and genre authenticity, whether a game system or concept fits within the traditional comic book genre. So, in this case, frequent options for players to kill off NPCs, especially important ones, wouldn't really be a suitable match with the conventions found in the traditional comic book genre, where recurring characters, both allies and enemies, are an important part of the overall narrative structure. The structure could be seen a lot in City of Heroes, with content like the Statesman Task Force and the Lord Reckless Strike Force, where players could defeat whole teams of major NPC characters but never kill them. Not just for the obvious technical reason, but also because it simply wouldn't have felt right for a comic book game. I have a heroic film this weekend, the Heroes and Villains team. I'm getting a lot of feedback. I'm hearing a lot of echo.
I don't know why. I have my headset way on the other side.
Okay. Let me see what's going on over here. Let me see. Hold on, hold on. I'm just checking notes over here.
All right, then I'll move on to...
All right. Silly Dread Puppy says, I'm a fan of Impact Wrestling. Rosemary for the win. Yeah, where has she been? Okay. You ready? You want to do yours, or you got one, or what do you got for us?
A Ship of Heroes. It's a long one, but the constraint of time, I'll do a speed read. Here we go. It's been a very good year for the Ship of Heroes team. Despite some delays, we surpassed every challenge and pushed forward, moving closer to launch. How many times have we heard that? Those of you who are with us all year have seen extremely rapid, visible progress, resulting in a prototype game. That's more than 200 of you to our supporters, and was able to log in and test in 2018. Here are some of the year's highlights. Built and deployed several new power sets this year, including the first two healing and buffing sets. Five more power sets under construction, including the first controller set. No mention of tentacles or stretching. Internally, we upgraded to popcorn FX for impressive visual effects that don't lag the game. Apocity looks great now, adding a day-night cycle. They're in a ship. Day-night, okay. Civilian cars and a major...
Cycle?
Yeah, it's a major accomplishment, and so is all of the sophisticated back-end code that makes these features function. This is the most commented on subject for our supporters, and even our devs were often amazed to see how well different parts of the code base work together. The game environment has gotten dramatically more advanced, as are our prototype missions maps. Scrolling down. Excuse me. We polished and then tested our new combat system in a combat alpha during February and March. It was a huge hit with the community. Combat in Ship of Heroes is easy to learn but hard to master, and the devs are having a lot of fun with it in tests. We expanded and improved our character creation tools throughout the year, guided by the feedback from our CCT Alpha in late 2017. We've already shown height, skin color, and muscle morph improvements. We've expanded the story, highlighting several heroes, introducing new villains, and added information about mankind's unique future aboard the HS Justice. No confusion to the USS 1702. No. The Ship of Heroes team now includes a new sound professional and a new animator. Maybe they'll take care of that stand I commented a while back ago. We also added skill and experienced personnel to our coding and art team, and we are looking for experienced talent. They might need to be looking for voice actors. All right. Our character and costume art has taken a huge leap forward in both performance and quality. The Ship of Heroes team has rebuilt all the characters' models and all the costumes, invented a new clipping suppression system, refined the CCT's morph selection, and more than doubled the total number of costumes available in-game, as well as adding a large new set of civilian NPCs in their clothing. We also made every character much faster to meet the target of 30 frames per second in large raids. Which leads us to CROM 4 success. We finally transcended from one technical issue that was actually uncertain in the entire game. Can we marry our vision of highly customizable player characters with high frame per second in a traditional MMORPG without savaging the art to make the game run, as most big studios do just before launch? In a word, yes, we've already done it.
Oh. Well, good for
our supporters see the proof in the second alpha of 2018, our third in a total. And while the login test was strictly centered on FPS tests, demonstrated our communities get together in a positive community, not a toxic one. And of course, that our costumes and our city looks great. Continuing the trend, here's some great things planned for 2019. In January, February, we are going to upgrade the engine version of Ship of Heroes and make a number of other technical upgrades driven by community request. The next big event will be likely a major test of upgraded character creation. Participants should be able to create characters and then save them for the next event. Want to have a raid test in which players can use characters they've created. This will be a major advancement in the combat systems. Expect to spend months revising and improving Ship of Heroes based on the feedback received in these events. It's a transparent and responsive game led by staff, by numerous volunteers who wish to recreate a friendly home for superhero MMORPG fans. Later in the year, we like to test the leveling system, as well as the in-game effect of augmentations, infusions, and buffing on real team and solo gameplay. The kind of multiplayer bouncing work is the key to make the game beta launch. And there's the cliffhanger.
Dun, dun.
The
dun.
Beta launch.
The beta launch?
I can't
launch?
Say soon because... I can't say soon because City of Titans has that copyright signal on it.
Sorry, I had to throw that in. Can you put a link to that, what you just read, in the chat so I can post that later on tonight, sir?
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's Valiant.
Minus the dun dun dun. Okay.
Yeah, here's Valiant. We're done.
Ready,
continue.
Go. Thank you.
We're done.
And
continue.
Here we have. Okay, we have a City of Titans update. Where we stand, landmarks and moguls, too. Most of our recent updates have focused on Targin, our COT character creator, that we will be sharing more progress on in upcoming weeks. This update, we wanted to take a pause, and share our other work that has made important progress along the way. Landmark and mogul buildings are special architecture being designed as part of the Titan City story. And this week, we want to share a snapshot of progress being made on both. First, landmarks. Landmarks are key architectural locations for lots of action that will be happening in the game. Buildings like City Hall, Pharaoh's Fire Station, Museum Row, Ephesus University, Thunderbolt Dive Bar, and others are hotspots for fighting crime, solving missions, and environments for character roleplay. Moguls are environments that will also be action spots, but of a different kind. They were a feature of our first Kickstarter, and we know that many of you have a great interest in them. Like landmarks, moguls will tell part of Titan City's unique story because the design and narrative for each mogul is developed with player input. We have reached out to mogul contributors in the past and plan to contact them individually again for updates on progress of each mogul as the city is developed. Schedule for designing landmarks and moguls. Up to now, our development team has accomplished more work on landmarks because the early game environment needed them. Part of the gameplay will be about participating in missions, and many of the starting points for much of the game will take place at landmarks. For example, Alexandria, the first neighborhood planned for launch, is filled with landmarks, but has only two moguls. Now that our developers are moving on to building architecture in Old Bradford and other parts of Titan City, where more of the moguls are located, we plan to ramp up development of moguls. Progress updates. Below is a snapshot of some of the work that's been done that we hope all will enjoy. If you are a mogul contributor, we remain 100% committed to building moguls. But please understand that because of their complexity, they will take time to complete. Please also make sure we have your current email, and we hope the built moguls below give some sense of the work that will be coming for other moguls in the future. We are very excited watching our landmark and mogul architecture concepts evolve into the game infrastructure, and we look forward to much more progress in 2019. And there are pictures below of City Hall, a landmark. It's the place where heroes gather, raise torches, and learn about urgent missions to save the city. This modern building will be a center for much of the meeting and activity in Titan City. And there's a different group shot. There's different shots of the same building. Old City Hall, which is now the Titan City Museum. And it's a landmark. Very nice. It's a big museum-looking place. Established after the Great Fire of 1908, This old Romanesque building still functions as Titan City Museum. It is a great meeting place with high towers and courtyards for players to prepare to do battle at the city. The Labyrinth Natural History Museum. It is a mogul. Labyrinth is one of Alexandria's two mogul buildings. This one placed in Museum Row. The Labyrinth is a dusty museum of paleontology and unique exhibits on natural history, dino bone displays, fossils, fountains, historic gas lamps, and moody lighting make this Titan City gem a must-see. The Nigen Museum of Modern Art, landmark. Built in 1998, shortly after Hurricane Atlas, the Nigen, Museum of Modern Art is a large and flashy art gallery, built in a colorful postmodern style. It was intended to both commemorate the hurricane event, but also show that Titan City will survive in bold colors and ambitious architecture. It has also been known to survive the occasional testing of ranged superpowers on its highly durable but not always well-received exterior. Ephesus University Clock Tower Building, which is a landmark. The exterior is an attempt to capture the Gothic style of older nearby universities along the East Coast. Constructed as part of the rebuilt campus, it is only slightly younger than the venerable Clark Hall, having been mostly completed in 1916, although some of the finished touches were delayed by the Great War. During Hurricane Atlas, pretty much all the glass in the structure, including the clock faces, was damaged or outright blown out. It looks much better now that it's been restored. Ephesus University Clark Hall. Landmark. With its many gargoyles, it's a popular place on campus for heroes to perch and brood. And there are gargoyles and much brooding can be done. Ephesus University Harlan Brown Law Center. Landmark. The Brown Law Center is such a beast, a mix of brick, concrete, and walls of glass blocks and panels, mixing long curves and sharp angles in a way that you'd swear was the result of a drunken dare at the architecture firm. Sometimes a new building on campus will try to fit in with the general feel of the buildings around it. This is not one of those buildings. The Pantheon Building, a mogul. One of Alexandria's two mogul buildings, the Pantheon Building is a replica of the ancient Pantheon Building that still stands today in Rome. The original Pantheon was completed around 128 AD and was built by the statesman Marcus Agrippa. It is thought to have been designed as a temple for Roman gods. Its replica sits at Ephesus University as one of many opportunities for learning on campus. The Nautilus Club Mogul, the famous corner upscale nightclub in the theater district of the old Bradford neighborhood, is a great place to hang out near Ephesus University, as it has lots of open space, a pool, and jacuzzi for year-round parties. This is one of the first of our early design moguls to be modeled and placed in our neighborhood we are working on currently. Below are some of the early designs for this building that is now ready for placement in the game. And these are just designs. Body, canvas, tattoo parlor, another mogul. Tats by Tazzy. Pretty in ink specials. Tattoos served up daily in a seedier part of the old Bradford neighborhood, neighborhood of Firetown. This old school tattoo parlor specializes in steampunk designs and can be found just outside Victory Beach. It has a comfy apartment above the parlor where Tazzy and friends hang out before hitting the streets. Block, BLOK Comics Mogul, is another mogul to be placed in the old Bradford neighborhood in the theater district closer to the downtown border. This Art Deco institution has been a fan favorite in Titan City since the Silver Age of comics. Then there's Timberwolf Retreat, another mogul. This rustic lodge placed in Reinhardt Park area was modeled as a mixture of two famous American lodges. The front large seating area was based on Yellowstone Lodge, while the extended middle and back area with the two wolves was designed after the famous Pawnee Hotel at Yosemite. We think the building will be a special gem to find tucked away in Reinhardt Park. Black Star Tower, Mogul. This Gothic tower, one of several moguls to be placed in the old Bradford neighborhood, was designed after the Walter Scott Memorial in Edinburgh as a Titan City historic monument. For those of the magic persuasion, Black Star Tower will offer a dark, inspiring place to the scout for mystic mischief in one of Titan City's oldest neighborhoods. These models are just a snapshot of the work going into building the Titan City environment. As a reminder, the models have been rendered in studio applications and will have added textures and lighting in the game. This is just a partial glimpse of what they look like, but we wanted you to see that the development of architecture for game environment has made significant progress. And after much focus on landmarks, we are now ramping up our work on moguls. As we start this new year, we are looking forward to working with you all and bringing our unique player-contributing architecture to life in Titan City. Says here, thanks to Nathan, the master builder of Titan City. This update is entirely his work and represents weeks of constant effort to great effect. Every building here has been designed to be fun for players to interact with, and it's all his doing. And there you go. And we have one more update from the only, well, fully active online superhero role-playing game that everybody can play right now. Champions Online. The End of Winter. Hello, champions. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And that's all I'm going to sing tonight. The Champions Online Winter Event. The tree is up in Renaissance Center, and the Toymaker presents are hidden all around the Champions universe. Start gathering your winter charms and use them to gather special event rewards at the Toymaker's Apprentice. Plus, Black Harlequin has taken control of a toy foundry. You'll have to battle evil toys to put a stop to him. Clarence the teddy bear is invading. Can you stop this cuddly terror? In the final week, two alternate versions of Clarence, Nightmare Clarence and Liberated Clarence. Here are the rewards of this final week with more rewards and events to come each week. Although since this is the final week, there will be no more reward coming. I don't know why they said that. It looks like an owl head and some kind of thing for your neck. I don't know what it is. I haven't logged on to the winter event at all. I've been so busy this holiday season. Also, hold on. There's some kind of flash sale going on. Sale of some kind. I went to open it. It opened the same thing. Isn't that great when it does that? Okay, Happy New Year, champions. Save 30% on everything in the Z store from noon Pacific time today to midnight Pacific time tonight. I think that was yesterday, so I think that you're screwed. I'm waiting for this to open so I can verify that. Okay, here we go. It's opening. Now I can read about the sale I think we all missed. Yeah, this goes from Tuesday, so I think we all missed that sale. Isn't that great? They do a sale on a day when nobody logged on. Yeah, everything in the Z store today, yeah, it was from 12 noon to 12 a.m. midnight Pacific time. You all missed it. We all missed it. Forget about it. Never mind it. Okay, and those are your updates. Those are your gaming updates. But I guess there's still time till next Wednesday, or this coming Wednesday, to participate in the winter event. I haven't done anything with that. I'm sorry. I haven't participated at all. Well, look, they put it at Christmas. I'm so busy at Christmas time, man. I haven't been able to do anything. Won't they make it last a few weeks past the new year? You know? I don't know why they did that. Anyway, sorry about that. Anyway, I got up New Year's, and my favorite thing used to be, it still is, looking. Remember when TV, they used to put those New Year's marathons on? Well, none were announced this year, but like Stars Network, they did one
their yearly Godzilla marathon. It was the old school Godzilla movies marathon was on. And I thought that was cool. I watched that most of the day. Because, like I said, I was too tired to move. But then I was just, like, looking through the guides to see what else is on. IFC, the Independent Film Channel. Great for this.
Mm-hmm.
The 1966 Batman TV series was on from, like, 1 a.m., which I didn't know about, till, like, 6 p.m. But not all is lost. Saturday mornings, for the next couple of weeks at least, they're going to be showing 5 episodes of Saturday. Starting with the very first episode tomorrow morning. I don't know what time it starts. I sent my DVR to record them. So. And what's so significant about the very first episode of the pilot, one, it has a darker tone than the rest of the series. That if you ever saw the Green Hornet series, I'm sorry, the Green Hornet series back then, that was the original tone. That was the original tone for Batman. They said, no, it's too dark. Make it campier. Okay? Two, it is the only episode where Bruce Wayne mentions his parents were killed in Crime Alley. He never mentions it after that episode. And he mentions it once, briefly, very briefly. He mentions it, and that's he mentions that his parents were killed in Crime Alley, and that's why he dedicated his life to fighting crime. So there you go. A bit of trivia for you kids out there. A bit of TV trivia. Or, like me, even though I'm recording them, I had the DVD. I finally got the DVD box set, or they finally put it out because for decades. They couldn't put it out because there were multiple companies involved, and they were fighting over who got the rights to publish or release the DVDs. And a couple of years ago, they finally got that. I think in 2016, for the 50th anniversary, they finally solved that. Just in time. Ain't that something? But I do have more good Batman related news.
There you go.
Courtesy of Superhero Hype, Ruby Rose's Batwoman is officially getting a pilot episode. Last month's Elseworlds crossover event introduced Ruby Rose's Kate Kane, a.k.a. Batwoman, to the CW's Arrowverse. Apparently, the CW executives were so impressed with what they saw, the network has formally ordered a pilot episode for the potential Batwoman show. Carolyn Trace, the writer who penned Batwoman's introduction, is also scripting the Batwoman pilot and will act as showrunner. Joining her are executive producers Greg Berlanti, Sarah Schechter, and Jeff Johns. David Nutter of Game of Thrones is helming the series' first episode. Much like Supergirl did with Superman, Batwoman may present an opportunity to officially bring Batman into the Arrowverse fold.
Ooh.
However, the focus of the show will likely remain on Kate. There you go. But if the CW does pick up Batwoman up the series, it could run later this year. Hopefully. I hope. Otherwise, we'll have to wait till 2020 for a series. I know we were talking about this earlier. We were hoping that, you know, that you know, with her appearance, it was like. What do you call it, a backdoor pilot, and that they were ready to roll out a mid-season series. Nope, they don't even have a pilot ready for. So I'm hoping
that the pilot is done rather quickly, and we get to see it before the summer, and then we get to see it, then during the summer they work on the series, and we get to see it before the fall. And don't forget, like, the shows are coming back. Like, I think The Flash is coming back on the 15th. So, yeah, it's been a month already. And like I was telling Mad Viking, I've been checking out The Runaways. I'm halfway through the season, second season already. Definitely more action than the first season. So, if you have Hulu, go check it out. It's pretty cool. Like I said, I just had a bad week. I want to go to the movies. I think I'm probably going to go to the movies next week, early next week. I want to go check out Aquaman. Definitely check out Aquaman. I want to check out the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And, of course, New Year's night was the big Doctor Who episode. Which had the enemy, the Daleks. Did you get to check it out at all?
No.
Well, fine. I haven't heard any And
well,
yeah, I'm looking here. I think it was true. This is more of a season finale than a season finale they did. Because this one wrapped up a lot of loose ends of season one. So. I thought so.
As I was trying to see if there was anything really of interest, you know, with Newsarama and all that. And nope, everyone's either focusing on the comic issue of the moment, which, you know, nothing
which
really
is
big happened. And DC is Heroes in Crisis, waiting for the fourth one to come around.
I know, I saw three, number three. I am so far behind that, I'm sorry.
And, after that, it was Avengers Endgame, Avengers Endgame, Avengers Endgame, Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, everybody's waiting for that. Well, and that and Captain Marvel movie. Okay, but you know what? I have a top 10 list for you. I've got one this
month. Oh.
Courtesy of Superhero Hype, their top 10 heroes of 2018.
Okay.
Let me see. Interesting how they did. Oh, okay. Here we go. Let me see how this list works. Okay, I'm just going to read. All right. You may have noticed that superhero films and TV shows are undergoing a major shift, and that's a good thing. Let me see here. Okay, in that spirit, let's bid Excelsior to 2018. Okay, here we go. Number 10, they have Sabrina Spellman from Sabrina the Teenage Witch, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Number 9, Luke Cage. This is from TV shows and movies, not comic books, obviously. Number 8, movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Number 7, Aquaman.
All right.
Maybe because it's just too new, I guess. Number 6 was Netflix's Daredevil. Okay. Number 5, Mr. Miracle.
How did he get in there?
Maybe they went to the comic book. I guess not. Mr. Miracle may not have had a TV show or movie to his name, but 2018 was a banner year for this Jack Kirby creation. Huh. Tom King and Mitch Gerard's 12-issue Mr. Miracle maxi series redefined his hero with mind-bending tale that challenged superhero conventions. The take on Mr. Miracle was an instant classic, and it's well worth picking up if you haven't read it yet. Just remember, Darkseid is. Darkseid is what? Okay. That was number six. Number five, Phil Coulson. One of the most underrated MCU heroes, Coulson has been a welcome presence ever since his introduction in Iron Man. Of course, Phil Coulson, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Spider-Man and Spider-Gwen from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Number two, the Avengers, all of them. Avengers Infinity War differed from prior installments in that Earth's mightiest heroes remained fractured after the events of Captain America Civil War. I'd say that they still have a few months to lick their wounds, but there's no doubt that the divided group will stand united once again by the time Avengers Endgame rolls into theaters. And number one, hero for 2018. Do you want to take a guess? Movies, Marvel
Batman.
Movies, superhero. That has to be a think movie. TV.
Aquaman, Doctor Strange, Deadpool.
2018.
But Deadpool.
No, not even close.
All right, who, what?
Well, they went politically correct with this one. Black Panther!
Oh, okay.
I know. I was. You know, it's funny. A lot of people say the movie wasn't that good. It was just impressive that they said they went with, like, an all-black cast.
As
you
I
know,
said before,
yes.
It's in Wakanda, Africa. I don't exactly expect an Italian mob.
Yeah. I'm out of you.
Hey, you know, I'm the Black Panther here. You know, getting my buddy a Killmonger. You know, I don't know. Come on.
I'm out of you. And really quick, we only have 90 seconds left. Okay. Rogue One spinoff series. The Rogue One spinoff series set to begin filming in the fall, in October sometime. That's the only other news I got for you this week. We have other news. That's all I fit in. Everybody, Happy New Year. Happy 2019. You know what I'm going to say? Go watch all those superhero TV shows, like I mentioned. Go watch those movies. Read those comic books. We're not going to be on. We got 60 seconds left. We're not going to be on next week. I have to get some shots in my lower back. I'm sorry. So you got 2 weeks to catch up on everything.
There you go.
For those who don't have the link, no, you don't can't post the link. Ow. You're welcome, Tilly Dread Puppy. It's my pleasure. Without you guys rock. We love you all. Without you guys, it would just be me, Mad Viking, talking to each other for 90 minutes about stuff we talk to each other about all week anyway. Any other time. About things we love talking about anyway. Enjoy the rest of your new year. Those New Year's resolutions, you know what? There's no big rush to start them. 1 year, I didn't start my resolutions till March, and I kept them the rest of the year. Anyway, have a great 2 weeks. We'll be back. Oh, January 18th, Punisher Season 2 starts on Netflix. I want to say it now because we won't be back on till then. But there you go. Have a great weekend, everybody. We love you all. Happy New Year. Happy 2019. Have a great weekend. Here we are. I'm just typing something.
Yeah, but I know we're in the after party because the play kicked in.
I know. I hear that.
All right. Oh, and it seems that the Windows update ended last year
was
for me.
Really? Okay. I have got to find somebody who can help me. Sorry, go ahead.
If you're talking about computers, DJ Ehrlich, he'll be able to help you.
I keep trying to get in touch with them. I keep telling him I'll be around this weekend or that week. He goes, okay, I'll be here. And I keep booking for him. He's never around.
So I don't know what's going on.
Sometimes you have to shout it because he has his computer on ready to go, but he's also working at home.
Okay. I didn't know that. All right. Yeah, this weekend might be bad because we're taking down the Christmas tree, I think, this weekend too. So, okie dokie. Very good. Now I know what to do. Okay.
All right, well, I got to get some blood back in my arm and get it out from the holding position. Because not only I had to hold the phone, I had to keep it only in one ear due to the fact that I had a bit of a cold during the week. Didn't last long, but it was enough to clog an ear. So one side is working great. The other ear is like...
Oh, okay, very good. Well, you have a good weekend, sir. I'll try and get in touch with you over the weekend. I don't know what I'm going to watch right now, so I just might watch some stuff on my DVR. All right, have a good night.
Is it?
All right, have a good one.
You may as well do the sign off if we're going to do this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, hold on, I'm trying to sign off. I'm trying to sign off from Paragon Chat at the same time. Wait. Since we're logging off, let me get to the studio. All right, everybody, we'll see you all in 2 weeks on the 18th, which will be Punisher 2 Day, because season 2 Punisher comes out on Netflix. With that, have a great 2 weeks, everybody, and we'll see you all then. Anything you'd like to say in closing, sir?
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Me.
See you then. Meet me. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy 2019.